Was in the valleys, but it was back down at the bottom at the foothill of this mountain. Then we have this story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Excuse me. My throat got plugged up, but thanks for joining us today. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Here's the story of the healing of a boy with an unclean spirit. I'm going to read out the modern English version today, just like the way it says it. It says, when he came to his other disciples, because some of the disciples are still at the bottom, remember, only three went with him up to the Mount of Transfiguration. But when he came to the other disciples, he saw a great crowd around them, and the scribes were disputing with him. Immediately, when all the people saw him, they were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you debating with them?" One in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it takes hold on him, it dashes him to the ground. And he foams at the mouth and he gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. And I told your disciples so that they would cast it out, but they could not." Verse 19, he answered, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." So they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit dashed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. What a pretty sight. He asked his father, "How long has it been since it came to him?" He said, "From childhood. Often it has thrown him into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything," listen to that question there, that the man is asking Jesus, "but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Look at Jesus' response in verse 23. Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but I just find that such a fascinating story. You know, some would say that the boy had epilepsy. That was the illness. But Jesus knew right off the bat that it was deeper than just a physical infirmity. It was an oppressive spirit that had taken hold of his life and was causing him to fall and causing him to throw himself in the water and the fire and all these things. And the dad had probably tried everything he knew to get this boy some help. And finally coming to where Jesus had been heard that he was located, came and looking for help that day, but Jesus was up on the hill. And so he came to his disciples, but yet the disciples could not cast out this spirit. You see, the Lord Jesus had just been transfigured on the mountaintop in front of the three of his amazed disciples, but then descended to the valley where a distressed father had unsuccessfully sought healing for his demon-possessed child. These three had glimpsed the heavenly realm, but then they returned to the stark reality of a groaning creation, life's seemingly endless problems, and their own limited understanding, which depressed their spirit. It would have been nice if they could have stayed on the mountain a little longer, right? Amen. It would have been nice if they could have just enjoyed the wonderful presence of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit was there, but yet God had to bring them back down the mountain to the valley because God had things for them to do, and their growth was not complete. Can I tell you, we're still growing in the Lord? Amen. God's still training us for the things that he wants to do through us. Amen. God's still teaching us. I hope that somewhere during my last 9 years that something has been said by the Spirit through me, not because of me, but through me that has spoken to your life or challenged your faith or called you to grow in your walk with the Lord. Our understanding sometimes is very weak. Sometimes it is oppressed by darkness. Sometimes it is vague because of the glass that we look through here on earth. But friends, God wants to open our understanding. God wants to teach us. God wants to speak to us. One writer said that a distraught father had come to ask Jesus to heal his son. All Christ's disciples had been given the power. You see, his disciples had already been given power and authority, you know, to go out two by two and to pray and lay hands and heal the sick and cast out demons. They already had that power and authority to heal sick and cast out demons. But when attempting to heal this man's son, they failed miserably. Anybody ever feel like you just fail sometimes?
Yeah.
You ever feel like you failed the Lord sometimes? I'll be honest with you, I think if we're human at all, we'd say, you know, I feel there's times in my even in my faith journey, I feel like I failed God. ear ashes, okay, did I miss God? Did I miss a direction from God? Did I not hear him correctly? I think as we look back this past year, I think that's a question I probably asked myself a lot. You know, are we in the place we're supposed to be? Have we missed you, God, somewhere? I don't think we have. I really feel like that we heard from God. I really feel like this is God's plan. Why we're walking through this, that's another story. But I just feel like sometimes we try to attempt things and we do fail. Not only did the disciples question God's power to heal in their own hesitant hearts, but they undermined the faith of this anguished man, causing him to doubt Christ's ability to heal. Can I tell you, friends, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? When the world sees you, they see him, right? Are they supposed to? Yes. Amen. So if we're not living up to Christ's standards for our lives, or if we're not walking by faith, or if we're not walking in obedience, then what does the world see when they see us? What do they see in Jesus? Do they see a God that really can't do mighty things? Do they see a God that really can't change people's lives? Do they see a God that can't deliver people? Friends, I'm going to tell you what. God can. And God needs you to follow him in obedience. Can you just imagine the scene? The Father has brought his son. The disciples, they tried. They prayed the prayer of faith as much as they knew it, and they couldn't. You know, the scribes, man, they don't care. They don't believe in the power of Jesus anyway. So one writer said, when Jesus came down, he found disputing scribes. He found a distracted father. He found a demon-possessed boy and defeated disciples. He silenced the scribes. He comforted the father. He healed the boy. And he instructed the disciples. He had a lot to do, didn't he? I mean, there were just so many different scenarios and so many different quandaries that were going on there at the foot of the mountain, there in the valley. But Jesus took each one in stride. Because he knew who he was. He knew who the child was. He knew what the father was going through. He knew who his disciples were because he had already been instructing them now for quite some time. So he knew the scenario of what was taking place. You know, I believe before he ever came down from the mountain, he already knew what was at the bottom of the mountain. Can I tell you, friends, before we ever got here, he already knew he was going to be here. He did. Before you ever walked through a valley or walked through a circumstance, God already knows you're fixing to go through that thing. Matter of fact, I believe that God has already prepared not only a way for you in that situation, but he's already prepared a way of escape for you to get out of that situation. Because that's our God. God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Nothing. He sees all things. Here's three things I see in this verses of Scripture. First of all, the Father was looking for his faith. The Father. You remember he said to Jesus that at one point, you know, if you care. And Jesus says, well, I care. And he says, if you'll just believe. And he said, what? Help my unbelief. I don't know if he had some sort of faith. Maybe he had heard about Jesus. Maybe he believed Jesus could. Or maybe this was just a cry of desperation as he brought his son to the one that he had heard about healing people. And so maybe he came with some optimism. And you know, we're going to come with optimism when we come to church. Anyway, that God's going to show up. That God's going to be here. But when he got there, Jesus was nowhere to be found, but there were those that represented in him. And then there was the religious community, the naysayers about Jesus. And so the Father was looking for something to what? To validate his faith. Something to grow his faith. Something to touch his son out of the little faith that he had. Because God can use a little faith. He can. Matter of fact, God can use no faith. He can take your no faith and give you great faith if he wants to. But the Father was looking for his faith. I see, second of all, there were the scribes. I see the scribes as people that were lacking in their faith. Oh, I know they knew the law. They were very traditional, very ritualistic. I mean, they followed the law to the T, and they had laws upon laws. And I mean, somebody said there's like 600 something laws, 613 maybe laws that the scribes and the Pharisees added on top of the other laws. Scribes, they knew how to interpret the law. They knew what the law said. Bring your sacrifices, you know, to the temple of the Lord. Your peace offering, your guilt offering, your sin offering. You know, they knew all about offerings. And they knew all about the Torah and the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophets. But they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They might have believed he was a man and he did some pretty amazing things, but they didn't have faith in him being the Son of God. So I see the scribes as people that were lacking in their faith. The Father is looking for some faith, amen, to heal his son. But the scribes, I believe they're mocking him. I believe they're mocking Christ. Why do you bring him to heal? He's not going to be able to do anything for him. You know, if the scribes were really scribes, they probably could have performed, as some writers say, some exorcism and cast out that demon. But somebody said that the scribes believed that this kind of demon that was in this boy was not approachable, or was not able to cast him out, because it was a mute spirit. So he couldn't hear or speak. So they believed that when they cast out a spirit, they had to call his name. And no, this son couldn't tell him what this name was, because the spirit was mute. Well, that's just their saying. But they were lacking in their faith. They didn't believe that this boy could be healed. But then we have the disciples. Maybe some of us fall in this. I hope maybe some fall in this looking for faith. You're looking for faith. You're looking for a validation to your faith. You're looking for Jesus to do something to prove to you that he is the Son of God. And I hope none of you are like the scribes who lacked your faith completely. But maybe some of us fall in this disciples who were limiting with their faith. They were limited in their faith. I mean, they had faith. I mean, they had seen him do miracle after miracle. They had even themselves performed miracles and signs and wonders as they had carried the gospel to towns ahead. So they knew what could happen, but yet they were limited in their faith. He wasn't there with them at this moment. I mean, they were questioning this whole scenario about, why can we not cast him out? You know, what Jesus said, "Oh, you faithless generation." He wasn't saying that you don't have faith, but you just don't believe what I've told you. You know, sometimes we take our faith in God for granted. Sometimes we take what God has said for granted, and we say, well, if God said it, we can, you know, he'll do it. You know what, friends? God doesn't have to do anything for us. And God doesn't do it for us just because we ask. God does it because he can. He's God. And he does care about you. And he cares about your needs. And the Bible says you don't have because you ask not. So if you don't ask, how do you know you're not going to receive? So we have these three scenarios. The father looking for his faith. The scribes lacking in their faith. The disciples were limiting with their faith. But look at verse 9 again. Verse 9, chapter 9, I should say. Verse 22 and 23. New Living Translation this time. The spirit often throws him, the father said, into the fire, into water, trying to kill him. Jesus is having this conversation with the father. The Father says, have mercy on us. And look what he says, and I like how the New Living Translation kind of words it. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Now, I think sometimes we approach Jesus with that same scenario. It's like, well, man, I know you can, but will you? Or maybe some approach Jesus and say, well, I've heard about what you can do, but can you do it for me? So he says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And I love the way the New Living Translation interprets Jesus' words back to the Father in verse 23. What do you mean, if I can? If I can. Guys, can he? Can he do what you need done? Can he touch you? Even when you don't see him heal you? Can he heal your son's arm? Can he raise the dead? You know, we pray for needs all the time. We pray for Becky, you know. We believe that God could heal her if he would. He could have. I know that. It's not could he, would he, should he. I know he could have, because he's God. But sometimes God's plans are so much deeper than our understanding. And sometimes God's working things out for our good through the process and through the way that he handles situations. And I don't think it's always because we lack faith. It's just that's God's plan. I think we've had faith this past year to believe for what God could do for this church. So why haven't we seen it come to pass? Is it because we don't believe? Or was it just God's plan? And Brother Wayne said a pretty interesting word the other day in our board meeting. He says sometimes we make assumptions about what God can do. And he said maybe today we can just assume that God's timing is not our timing. I'm kind of paraphrasing what you said now. But maybe it wasn't God's time. And I don't know when God's time is. I hope it's soon. I believe it's soon. I want to ask you three questions here this morning. Just give me just a few minutes. I'm going to ask you three questions, and we're going to be through. And here's the first question I'm going to ask you. Can he? Can he, could he, would he? Yes, can he, could he, would he? Y'all remember that Oak Cathedral song? Can he? You know that word can comes from the Greek word dunamahi. Actually, dunamahi is also a part of the word that dunamis comes from, which talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. Dunamahi means to be able or possible. It means that not he might could or he can do it with power. Can he? Can he heal my son? Can you do it, Lord? As the man asked the father, you can touch him if you can. Can he? Jeremiah 32 and 17, Jeremiah the prophet said, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Can he? You bet he can. God can do anything because nothing's too hard for him. You remember when the angel of the Lord called the three men and visited Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, and they were talking about Sarah having this child this time next year. And as they were saying it to Abraham, Sarah, hiding behind maybe the tip door, laughed, the Bible says. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? You know, she had to be about 89 at this point because she was 90 when she had the baby. Can an old woman like me have a baby? Look what he said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. You know, that was an impossible scenario. It really was. I mean, come on, naturally, you know, physiologically, I mean, she was in no state to have a baby. I mean, everything had probably quit working that could work, or that was supposed to work to have a child, let me just put it that way. Or else maybe we don't know, maybe God kept her alive all those years. It's possible. Maybe she didn't go through what those things that women go through, and maybe she didn't have those issues. Maybe God kept her womb and all the parts of her body alive so that she could produce a child. Friends, can I tell you that's the way God works? Because he can. You know, friends, the church isn't dead, it's alive. And there's been times in dark ages and periods when the church isn't talked about much. But even in those moments that the world seemed dark, there was a church flicker somewhere around the world where God was stirring up people's hearts and they were meeting together or they were reading God's word and God was getting ready to birth a revival. And he did it over and over again. Friends, we look in the Middle East and we say, what in the world is going on over there? Iran, why are they so full of hatred? Well, I can tell you why. Maybe the leadership is full of hatred over there, but there's a church in that nation, friends, that's considered to be one of the greatest churches in the world right now that is stirring, and God is lighting a fire inside Iran. Friends, I believe it's going to come to fruition here in the near future. Why? Because he can. He can. God will always have a people. He'll always have a remnant. Nothing is too hard for God. Can things change? Yes, it can. Will it change? I believe it will. Maybe it's not how I think it should, but it will because God's in control. Can he? Can he heal that son? Can he set that boy free? Can he? That's all the father was just looking for, some validation. He was just looking for some help for his child. If it was you as a parent brought your child to Jesus in a desperate and dire situation, you'd be saying, Lord, will you? Can you? Why not? Come on and play for me, buddy. I'm just going to give you a few more minutes. So my first question to you today is, can he? Here's my second question to you today. Can you? Can you? You know, the father came to Jesus and he said, you can heal him if you can. And Jesus says, I'm thinking Jesus is under his breath saying, I can do anything. Do you not know who I am? He didn't have to say that. I don't believe he boasted about things like that. He just knew who he was. You know, sometimes, friends, we just got to know who we are in Jesus. We don't have to go around pushing people down and stepping on them and saying, hey, if you just knew who I was, you know what? The enemy knows who you are. If you're a born-again believer, can I tell you, he knows who you are. He knows. He knows how to twist your buttons, turn your knobs. He knows what makes you get mad and angry, what makes you do crazy things. Or idiotic things or... See, he knows. He knows because you did it before, the last time you pushed your button. Friends, the challenge is for you to see who Jesus is in you. Look what Jesus said in verse 23. He replied back to the Father. He says, it's not if I can, it's if you can believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You see, that word possible also comes from another root word of dunamis, or dunamis is another root word of possible, because possible is dunatos. It means to be powerful or capable, strong, high. Could it be that Jesus in you makes all things possible for you? You can't do it in your own strength. Well, I can't build this church. It's beyond me. It's not my church. It's God's. You know, I can't raise a sick person from the dead. It's only God in us. The hope of glory. One writer said it was not Christ's ability to heal that was in question. You know, they'd already seen the miracles. They'd already seen him do mighty things. It wasn't his ability to heal that was in question, for he created all things. And by him, all things hold together. It was the man's faith in Christ that had been severely impacted. It was his faith that Jesus needed to restore. By God's grace, he was able to cry out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And what was he rewarded with? He was rewarded with a son who was healed and a faith that was increased. I believe that man left there that day with a greater faith in Jesus was. You see, friends, faith says no limit on God's ability, because God can do anything. Don't ever try to limit what God can. God, this is too hard. Just don't even worry about it. You know, we look at it in the natural, we just think, God, don't even waste your time on me. I'll just work through this situation and this problem, and it'll get better somehow, or I'll find another way around it. Come on, friend, don't limit God's ability to change your circumstances or your situation. For he's ready. He's always ready, and he's always willing. But my question to you is, are you ready? Are you willing to trust him in all things? Can you? Can you put your faith in him? Can you believe for impossible things? Can you believe for God to change things for your good and for your better? We must submit to his will and not permit mountainous problems or seemingly impossible situations to adversely influence our faith in God's ability. Because God is the one who will. And if we will believe in the possible things with God, then we'll witness great things in our life as well. You see, what Jesus isn't saying here, he isn't saying that we can accomplish anything we want if we have enough faith. That's not, you know, some people say, well, name it and claim it. That's great. You know, we can have enough faith and we can say to that mountain, be removed, but we won't accomplish anything just because we have enough faith. This is an endorsement of the word of faith teachings. True faith doesn't presume that God will do what we want, but that God can do what he wants. You see, there's a difference. Faith isn't God doing what I want. Faith is God doing what he wants to do. And God knows what's best for us, doesn't he? That's a tough prayer, isn't it, to pray? So how do we grow in this faith? How do we believe for the impossible? How do we trust God when unseemly circumstances surround us? You know what Romans 10:17 says? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the hymn. Hearing by a worship song. No, it says, hearing by the word of God. Now, those worship songs, they sing about the word of God. But friends, if you want to grow in your faith, guess what you got to do? You got to stay in God's word. Amen. You remember what he told his disciples in here? They said, why couldn't we cast this thing out of this boy? He says, because this time only comes by prayer and fasting. In other words, that's time spending in God's presence in his word. It's not just about denying yourself food, but it's about drawing near to God. You know, if the world would just take a moment to stop and listen to the Word of God and allow that Word to soak in, it would change nations drastically. And it is in some places. But can you believe today, friends? Can you believe for the possibilities that God has for you? Can you trust God with your circumstances? And then here's my last question. Will you? Just one to even say, Lord, I can. But will you trust Him? Will you believe in Him? Will you stop and hear what He is saying to you? Church, He's been speaking to us for quite some time. He's been speaking to this church a lot since we've been here. He's been speaking through other people and prophetic voices. He's been speaking through pastors and teachers. You know, friend, we have so many churches that are praying for us. We have missionaries praying for us. We have prophetic voices that are calling out our name. We have other countries praying for us right now. So will you join in with their prayers and believe that God will do something great for you in this church? Can He? Can I, Jesus? Can I heal you, your son? It's almost like I think the Lord just wanted to turn around and laugh in the enemy's face, not in the man's face, but just turn around. Blind devil. Bring me the boy. Can I just encourage you today? Bring God your needs. You got some impossible need today? Bring it to Him. I don't know what it is. That doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means that we all deal with stuff, friends. We're all human. We walk through circumstances in our life that are impossible. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you just need to know that God can again. And that God hears you and He cares for you. And even though you haven't heard His answer yet, you'll still keep trusting Him. Come on, will you bow your heads with me this morning? Lord, I believe You can do anything at any time in any place. You're not restricted to what I think today, Lord. You're not restricted to what I ask, Lord. Sometimes I ask things that are beyond my ability, but they're not Yours. But You know that You don't need to answer that for me because it won't be good for me. And then there are times I don't ask for the right things because I'm not hearing what You're saying and not following Your leading, and I'm not spending time in Your presence or Your Word. And maybe there's things I need to ask and I'm not. And I just don't see answers because I'm not asking for answers. I'm not trusting the God of all possibilities. Lord, I know You can today. Lord, I believe that I can in You. So Lord, help me. Help me just to keep trusting You. Help me just to walk it out. Help me just to follow Your lead to take life. Lord, it's more than about 9 years as a pastor of a church. I didn't just come here, Father, just to satisfy a longing in my heart, to satisfy an empty place in this church body, Lord. I'm so blessed that You've allowed me this privilege and allowed me the opportunity in my wife and my kids, the opportunity to serve this beautiful congregation. Lord, we see a lot of people go, and we see some come. But Lord, it's a place that, Lord, I believe that You want to create an atmosphere, Lord, of worship, an atmosphere of supernatural, miraculous things. Lord, I believe this is a place that, Lord, You have been preparing for the last few years, Lord, to see the harvest, maybe the end time harvest. I don't know, but You want to bring in a harvest, and there's people that need us to believe for the impossible, that You hear us and that You can and You will. Maybe never stop asking, maybe never stop seeking, maybe never stop believing. Because You can. It's not if You can, it's I can. You can, Lord. Or maybe somebody today is struggling with an impossible situation in their lives, and they have faith, but maybe their faith is weak today, or maybe they're just limiting their faith because they're just not really trusting you. Or maybe they're listening to people that are speaking negative things into their lives, that are asking them to look for help in other places. But Lord, today, they need to hear from you. They need to see an impossible situation become possible again. And they need to see you do what you do best. Answer their prayers. And only you know the prayers that are prayed and the prayers that need to be answered. And Lord, we just give that completely to you today. The Lord brings some confirmation to your people today. Bring some confirmation to those that are struggling in their faith today that you're still God and you're still in control. Come on, just take a moment before we close. Just spend a moment in prayer with the Lord. And if you're walking through something today, just give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He still walks through the valleys for you. And he'll bring you into a mountaintop experience as well. But he's come into your life and he's walked into your circumstances because he loves you and cares for you. And he'll never forget you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God, we just give these things to you. We give this church to you, Lord. I give this church to you, Lord. You've seen the impossible situations we've been finding. Yes, Lord. All things are possible if we believe, and we believe, Lord. We believe. But don't just do what we ask, do what you want to do, Lord. Do what you want to do, Lord. Do what you want to do.